I need to tell y'all something. It's going to be better than this in heaven.
Yes. Amen. Yep.
Amen.
My wife said last week, I can't wait till we get down there to worship.
Amen.
She didn't say to hear you preach. Yeah, I guess so. I love that everything we say. But you, if you're a pastor, you get to see people die. I thought one time when I was just younger, even than when I was called to preach, that God was calling me to be a doctor. And I began to plead with him, please, Lord, don't make me be a doctor. I'll have to watch people die. And I think preachers maybe watch more people die than doctors do.
Yes.
They let the nurses sometimes be there for the bad part, worst part for them. But when you see people very sick, tubes everywhere, weak, sometimes unconscious, and you realize if they're believers, the minute that body dies, they fly away on the wings of glory.
Amen.
It's just something to think about. What a change it will be when we head for heaven. Be nice to hear your pastor or one of these other preachers preach on heaven. I'd come back tonight to hear one on heaven. Not just anything, but a sermon on heaven.
Amen.
Here we are in the second chapter of Philippians. You don't mind, do you, that I don't stay with it verse by verse? I can't do all of them. So we're going to go and sip a bunch of wonderful things. Paul's saying things like, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And I just move on to chapter 2. Now, I grieve over this passage because I'm like the woman with the issue of blood. She could only touch the hem of his garment, and I can't reach that high. This is some passage of Scripture, one of the brightest stars in the galaxy of Holy Scripture. And I guess before I touch it, I need to ask you to pray for me. So let's bow a little bit for you to pray that God will be honored and that the best the Lord can do with the preacher, he will do with this text. Lord, I bless your name for these prayers, the privilege of being here and knowing the Holy Spirit has come. And may your will be fulfilled. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 5, I think I got my mic a little too high. Seems a little warm to me. I got threatened this morning by somebody who was playing games with me. I thought, what church is he from? He said, we've got this thing now alarmed where when it hits 12 o'clock, it's going to shock you. I told him I was used to that. Wouldn't bother me at all. But let me read this. I think many of you could probably quote this verse. I know some of these preachers could. Somebody got me some water? Almost like it came from heaven, but it didn't. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now this scripture takes a turn. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Thank you, Lord, for this precious word. This great text about our great Lord has to be preached, and it should be heard. But it's too heavy for a truckload of preachers to carry it. This preacher is certainly not up to it. Far from it. But he can put himself in the hands of the Holy Spirit who inspired it. I know somebody here. I must have this in the wrong place. Can I move it? I'm roughing it, scuffing it some way. It's not bothering you, I hope, but I can hear it. But I know somebody could quote for me Philippians 4:13, which says, it's a can-do passage. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Through Christ. Be silly to say I can do all things. That's a text for later on. But let's walk through these verses and with our Bibles open and try to get a grip on their meaning. Jesus, of course, was in heaven, one person of the triune God, equal with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Before the world began, God had in mind to make a provision for fallen humanity to be forgiven of their sins, rescued forever, saved. There was no way for God even to deliver us than for God to be Son of God and Son of Man and accept the most cruel death, death by crucifixion. So the price would be paid. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. See, God wanted us to be with him, sinners though we were. And so Jesus, being righteous, died for those of us who were not righteous, so he could bring us who were not righteous, justly, to be with God. Look at verse 5 again. Let this mind be in you. We need to adjust our thoughts, feelings, and view of life to the mind of Jesus as best we can.
Right.
What is Jesus' view of life? Why was he here and why is he here? What will he do with himself while he was on the planet and while he is still in our midst? Well, verse 6 says, who being in the form of God, who being in the very nature God, thought it not robbery, something he had to grasp. It wasn't something he had to steal for sure to be equal with God. He knew he was God. Jesus knew who he was, but he didn't have to hang on to his equality with God. He knew who he was, but he humbled himself. He just poured himself out of lots of his rights and became obedient unto death. Each of us will be liable to some kind of death. Let this mind be in you. Before we launch into the sermon, I want you to be sure you understand, as we talk a good little while about how bad it was for Jesus, how good it is for Jesus now in verses 9 through 11. There's a great turnaround. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. There are two sections to this magnificent text. The downward spiral, down spiral of Jesus, and the upward exaltation to Jesus all the way to the highest heaven. First, look at the mind of Christ according to verses 5 to 8 of chapter 2. Jesus stepping down. You know, that's such a short distance. I just got one length of an arm. But Jesus stepped from way up yonder, as far away wherever heaven is, all the way to this little planet in his eyes, little old marble or something, I don't know, maybe it's a grain of sand, such a small thing, but God in heaven came all the way down from there, but when he got here, he kept going down. He stepped down into a form unlike God, took upon himself the form of a servant. Jesus certainly did not cease to be God when he put on a human flesh. Nothing in the Bible suggests Jesus ceased to be divine. His outward manifestation as a human being made him look like he was not God. He couldn't quit being God. God can't resign. Amen. Somehow you could not blame him sometimes if he did the way some of us are living our lives. Jesus chose to come in the form of a servant. If King Solomon had put on the clothes of a peasant, rags, laid aside his rich robes and his golden crown or whatever it was like, he would have been no less the king. Now, for a time, he would be reft of some of his rights and privileges of the king if people couldn't recognize him as the king. And Christ humbled himself, emptied himself to help somebody else. That glorious form, that light insufferable, he laid aside and here with us to be, forsook the courts of everlasting day and chose with us a darksome house of mortal clay. Jesus could not cease to be God. We can't quit being human. Much less can God quit being God. Jesus couldn't quit, did not quit being God, but he certainly ceased to have the appearance of God, verses 7 and 8. God was clothed with a human body. He did not just appear to be human. God the Son was God the man. He was made in the likeness of man, found in fashion as a man. Yep. He who was in eternity past and will be forever in the form of God took upon himself the form of a servant. We tried to explain their levels of servanthood this morning. Jesus took upon himself the form of a bond servant, a doulos, a slave. Very wronged enslaved people. They say it still happens to some children and some helpless young ladies who are trapped as human slaves. Like, for example, that 300 girls, Christian girls, held in captivity by a band of evil Muslims in Niagara. Nigeria. Thank you, Brother Larry. It's just like Tommy White had called me on the phone in the middle of a sermon. Yeah, well, I do too once in a while. I check to be sure I don't have that phone anywhere near me. Well, it just violates all human rights. But it is not wrong to be a slave. It's wrong for us to enslave people. Right. It's not wrong to be a slave. Whatever your circumstance in life, it doesn't reduce your worth to God. It didn't reduce the worth of George Washington Carver when he was kidnapped by a bunch of marauders up there in Missouri who were stealing slaves to sell them in Mississippi. He got some slaves from Moses Carver. One of them was George Washington's mother, Mary, and he got the little baby along with her, got as far as they did as Arkansas, Conway, Arkansas, and he was a sickly child anyway, and he had whooping cough, and so they left him with somebody there and said these words, "He ain't worth nothing." Well, if you read a little bit about him, he was God's ebony scientist, a great Christian. Never saw his mother again in his life. He did have something to remember her by. He never get as famous as he became. There was no recovery in his life of his mother. He had the bill of sales that Moses Carver gave him, and it read like this: received of Moses Carver $700 in full consideration for a Negro girl named Mary, aged about 13 years, who I warrant to be sound in body and mind and a slave for life, dated October 1835. Well, this writer says he built his career upon an earnest search for the will of the Creator and a careful study of the Bible, which he was given during his high school days. That Word of God became the basis of his future life. He looked to it for guidance and believed it with all his heart. George Washington Carver, in spite of being a baby slave, certainly turned out all right. You can turn out all right if you will let the one who became a slave in your behalf take over your life.
Amen.
Jesus gave up his rights and his privileges. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Slaves a century and a half ago saying, Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart. In my heart, Lord, I want to be like Jesus. That may be becoming his slave. I like it that way.
Amen.
You got to have something mastering you. Maybe yourself. Jesus is the best of all masters. He not only stepped down into the form of a man, looked like a man, was a man, still divine, but he stepped down to be a slave. Jesus also stepped down for the death of the cross, verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he had to be a man in order to go to the cross. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It's one thing for God to leave heaven and enter a human body to live on planet Earth. It's another thing to be a human being and accept the place of being such a servant as Jesus was. But there is more. There has to be more. If he will save us, he's got to die by crucifixion for our sins.
Right.
And there is Jesus on the Via Dolorosa in Jerusalem trying to bear his own cross, after being beaten almost to death. And we can be thankful for Simon, the healthy, strong man who took that cross on up there. And Jesus was impaled on that cross. And this is a little bit of an aside, and I don't have a whole lot of bit of evidence, little but a little bit of possible evidence for it. But I hope I see Simon in heaven, and I can thank him for carrying the cross for my Savior, Jesus. A lot of people in heaven I owe a lot of gratitude to. Well, let this mind be in you. Step down, Christians. Step down to where Jesus was. We're always better off where Jesus is.
Amen.
Are there serious changes we have to make to join Jesus where he is? Well, we have to accept the fact that all Christians will have some hard times, including preachers. We all carry a cross. Don't waste it. The young preacher with teenage sons related a story that could bring tears to a preacher's eyes, probably nobody else's. But this son was a young man in his early 30s, and he said to his preacher father, Dad, when I was 16, I lost my faith over the way some churches treated you. I regained it all by the way you responded to their mistreatments. Since Jesus carried a cross, let's walk behind him with whatever cross he assigns us. Let him pick it. He knows best for us. What a privilege it is to carry any kind of an old, ugly cross for Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in you. Our Lord stepped down, down, down. I've not described that very well, but I've done what I can. And I can give you some more scriptures. Matthew 10:38, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth me is not worthy of me. And Luke 16:27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. There are more verses like that. But in all of us, there is this heart that needs to be somebody. And the way to be somebody is to be like Jesus.
Amen.
You see a little bit of the sense of what Jesus was like when he just kept coming down, 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 did it all for you.
Mm, thank you.
He did all of that for you. And he wanted you to be with him in heaven.
Amen.
It's a desperation thing. Sometimes I feel a certain desperation for lost people that just won't listen to the gospel.
Yeah,
and I see them going down in another way. Not to serve, not to be blessed.
Right.
Not to glorify God, but over some kind of selfish things that only make them worse and a destroying life and leading them to a dark eternity.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, Jesus wanted all of those people to be with him in heaven, and he made a way for it. God exalts those who have the mind of Christ, who are willing to become servants, who are willing to take up their crosses and follow him. We got to look at verses 9 through 11. Wherefore, God exalted him. People, just plain people, can always count on God to respond to faithfulness with heavenly rewards.
Amen.
I'd like to just keep talking about that because I don't know if we think about that very much. But you can't be faithful to Jesus and not be rewarded by Him in heaven. If you start looking a little bit like Jesus, things will be not only something that satisfies your heart in heaven, but that will continue to glorify the Lord forever. No service, no sacrifice, no sincere worship will go unnoticed. Every ounce, every smidgen of real worship that's been done in this place tonight is saved up there in the portals of glory. It will be there forever. God sees, remembers, rewards. You know His just nature requires full exaltation for His Son. We rightly honor people in this life. It may seem like a big thing. When they graduate from school, we gather around and give them a diploma and we say all kind of wonderful words to them. We ought to do that. In October, some churches, they had a luncheon for me and my wife. They didn't just say for the pastor. For the pastor and Miss Janelle. They know who is. Anyway, you know, I think I've gotten a little bit better about some things. I enjoyed it. Sometimes I feel ashamed of myself when they do something nice for me. But I just had this warm, nice feeling for this. It was kind. I think that registers with God as well. If they meant it from their hearts and if the pastor's worthy in some small way, I believe it means something. But dear people, you could get 1,000 medals. You could get 1,000 plaques. You could get 1,000,000 praises for what you've done on this earth. None of them would weigh like dust on the scales compared to these 7 words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That will come from the mouth of the Lord Jesus who came down for us and died on the cross for our sins. No human honor, wealth, or fame can touch the sole of Jesus' sandals compared to the exaltation God gives, and particularly that which He gives to His Son Jesus. Even Jesus had to wait through condescension to the human condition, slavery, and crucifixion. It wasn't like it came with nothing. Just be born of a virgin and go back and be exalted. No. Some people can't wait. And so they sell themselves for cheap tinsel. Artificial gold. I mean, nothing that really counts. They give away their lives for stuff that won't matter in eternity. But they're grabbing for something before they leave this world. It's as if life is just too cheap, nothing worth real anything valuable. Instead of giving it back to God who made it and let Him continue to make it and shape it for Himself.
Right.
Others, however, take the road less traveled, and they see by faith, everlasting glory. Folks, the more I read the Bible, the more I recognize a lot of the stuff that God's talking about when He says all of the wonderful things Christians are going to have, the righteous are going to have, is something that happens after you die. Well, what's so bad about it? Because that's forever, and this is temporary.
Right.
And you know, I'm not tired of living here yet. I mean, I got certain aches and pains. I think after I got that swollen leg, with a clot in my leg, folks asking people, "Is he still alive?" Don't know when I won't be alive down here, but I'm not going to die.
Amen.
Jesus promised that.
That's right.
Now, I like being here because I get to preach. I get to come home to my wife every night. Let me say this, she ain't gone nowhere when I come home.
Amen. Amen.
I like that. It's a warm light in the window.
Yes.
She may not have me a steak ready when I come home. But I don't know, I didn't come home for a steak. I'm ready to see her.
Amen.
And I shouldn't say any more about that. I'm sorry. But it's nice. I still like being here. Because I get to serve God and I have people I love. It's still a good life. I can't say if I were lying there like my mother-in-law was a few years ago and hurting all over the place and couldn't do anything much, that I know I'd want to go to heaven. I wouldn't be nearly as excited about preaching because I wouldn't get to preach. But I'm excited about living. But dear people, I know that most of the stuff that waits for you who've been faithful is going to be out yonder when you quit breathing in this body and you go somewhere else.
Amen.
But I tell you, you ought to come to church here as often as you can and get a little taste of glory in this place. It's here when you worship God from the heart.
Amen.
When you lay your life down on the altar and say, Jesus, you got everything.
Yes.
Take the road less traveled and see my faith everlasting glory. God exalted Jesus. God exalted Jesus. But everybody's going to exalt Jesus. I hope you're comforted by that. Verses 10 and 11. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess of things in earth and things on the earth and things under the earth. Now, it may seem like a small thing that humans should exalt Jesus, since God the Father has exalted Jesus. I know we don't need to put too much stock in people bragging on us, because it's nothing like God having something good to say about us. But it is important to the Lord that we exalt Him.
Amen.
So everybody's going to do it.
Yes.
Now, it really doesn't matter in the end with Jesus whether we exalt Him here or there. But it sure does matter to people who don't exalt Him here.
Yeah.
In that case, major important that Jesus, who was rejected and crucified, and rejected and crucified anew by millions today, will be exalted by everyone. You know, Brother Donnie, and I think of stuff that I don't know if it's relevant, but I wonder about stuff that I can't find in the Bible. Will we all in one mighty chorus bow down and with our tongues confess Jesus as Lord to the glory of God, or will we do it one by one? We come in the kingdom one by God. I don't know. But anyway, it's going to be a mighty thing when we all bow before Him. Everybody's going to do it, from Adam to the last soul to be born on this planet, every Jew, every Gentile, more specifically, every atheist, every Muslim, every Hindu, every Buddhist, all people living or dead will bow and confess Jesus Christ is Lord. People fighting against Him and His people will one day bow and say, Jesus is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. All must bow and confess in reverent submission. It won't just be pointing a gun at them and saying, change your religion. It will be a whole different thing from that. It won't be anything like some insincere expression of worship to God. Because there's a gun at your head. It will be a genuine expression of Jesus Christ is Lord. I understand that. I take it. I know it to be true. All must bow and confess in reverent submission to the Son. All must confess the truth they have denied. Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
And it's never too late for Jesus to receive all of humanity's confession of faith. Sinners who've ignored the Savior and His cross and rather criticized our Lord's bride, the church, and His messengers, the preachers, will bow.
Yep.
I don't get too much comfort in that, because I know they've wasted a lifetime and missed eternal life.
Right.
But I get comfort that Jesus will have that which He has always deserved, because the whole world is His, the whole universe is His, and every ounce of your body belongs to Him, and Jesus must have something other than rejection and the violation of His will. Lost people will bow. You will bow and I will bow. But we believers have learned to love to bow.
Amen.
We've learned to rejoice when we bow before our Savior and Lord. And when we bow before Him in glory, it will be with great joy, exceeding great joy, before our mighty, holy Savior and Lord. I like to bow now before Jesus. How much more will we like it when then face to face with our Redeemer? I'll tell you what, that is going to be a hallelujah moment. A moment of joy, a million times anything you've experienced here tonight or ever in your life. When we get to bow before Jesus, there'll be two sets of people there, the goats and the sheep. Some will be happy, happy bowing. Be the great moment of their lives. When face to face to Jesus, they get to say, I love you, and they know He's hearing them, and He knows that they're right there with Him. It'll be very real for every one of you believers. A lot better than you've ever done it before. It'll be a major moment. Well, the implication of this scripture is, I don't think I've done well with it, but dear people, I've done something. I've tried to exalt my Lord. But the implication is clear. All who accept this mind of Christ who came down, 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 which led to a manner like Christ, will be glorified with Him who was. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, just say Jesus, and every knee will fall and bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The ground is level at the cross. People say, I'm disfranchised. A lot of people walk through life moaning and groaning because they don't have a chance. You got the only chance that really matters eternally.
Amen.
You've got the opportunity to bow before Jesus, the Son of God, and give Him your life.
Right.
Worship Him. Pray to God. Seek His face. Turn from your sins. Humble yourself. Be a part of revival in this land. The ground is level. Everybody in here can be as close to God as their pastor is. He got saved one way. You will get saved one way. It'll be exactly the same way He got saved.
Amen.
All of us have a life. Please don't moan and groan the rest of your life about your circumstances.
Right.
I know some of them are bad. None of them are perfect on this earth. I didn't know anything about Paul Davis till a priest over there. And I said, he's had a smooth life. He's a good man. He got a godly wife. And then one night he told us about the death of their son. You know anything much worse to happen to you than that? All of us have some things in life that are not so good. But if we respond to those things in life with worship for God and continue to serve Him,
amen,
God won't forget that.
Amen.
Not only will you rejoice and worship Him and bow before Him, but He will also share His glory with you. I don't deserve that, but it's His grace that caused it to be true. The ground is level at the cross. All people have equal opportunity. That the one thing that makes all the difference, and the only difference ultimately, this equal opportunity to join Jesus in His suffering and in His exaltation. By not trusting God, many take the wrong road in pursuit of glory that they know really deep down for sure doesn't last beyond death. Many of them have given up on life. It takes faith to leave the old life of self-centeredness to the life of Jesus and His sacrifice. But we can bow now. What a deal. We can bow now. We can bow tonight. This is the first day we have left. Could be the last day. But we have this day to decide to do life God's way. When our little Melanie, I told you about years and years ago, talking about my little girl, and this fellow chaplain said, how old is your little girl? 17. Well, she's still our little girl. She's my little girl. Janelle thinks she's grown. Janelle knows she's grown. We were living right here in Bonifay. Let me say Bonifay one time and Bonifay the next. went to the homecoming one time and I counted them. Half the people who came back to B-O-N-I-F-A-Y said Bonifay, and half of them said Bonifay. It's a toss-up, dear people. It's your town, call it what you want to. This little girl was being raised here with a lot of Christians around her. And at age 5, she was planning a little trip. I asked her, I said, when are you going? Now listen, you got to listen. She's planning a trip, and I said, when are you going? She said, the day before tomorrow. The day before tomorrow is always the day of salvation. It is the day of decision. And always the day of action. And the psalmist said, what wait I for? My hope is in God. You got any hope for this life? Is it based on anything like God? If it's not God, it's not much. My hope is in God, what wait I for? I feel like I preached a short sermon. And I've had a good time. But I want to be sure that God lets me call everyone in here to bow now. You may have bowed like I did at 11 years of age and called on Jesus to save my lost soul. But I've been bowing ever since. Sometimes I get something wrong going on and I'm not bowing. But he lets me start over again. This is a good night to bow again. Even if you bowed 30 minutes ago, bow, keep bowing before the mighty Christ who came down, 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 and who will be exalted. If you never bowed, this is your night.
Yes, sir.
Not every church you're going to go to, and even here maybe, when you'll have the same sense that God's calling on your heart to give your life to Jesus, please don't let Jesus down. He came down, down, down for you. Lift him up. Honor him. Give him your life.
Amen.
And your sins. And your eternity. Let's bow our heads before the Lord. And I'll let you spend some time telling him how much you love him and want to serve him. And anybody here, knowing you will bow, but you haven't yet, I ask you to bow now at the feet of Jesus. Notice their nail prints. They were put there for you to be saved. Worship him.